Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. I am now going to cover Jeremiah chapter 28, which I will entitle Hananiah the False Prophet. We don't need an introduction. The time of the prophecy is given to us in the first verse. So we start now by reading Jeremiah 28, verses 1 through 4. In the fifth month of that same year, the fourth year, early in the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, the prophet Hananiah, son of Azur, who was from Gibeon, said to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priest and all the people, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years I will bring back to this place all the articles of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, removed from here and took to Babylon. I will also bring back to this place Jehoiachin, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the other exiles from Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." Another example of a false prophet prophesying peace when there was no peace. Now in verse 1 we have the time when the false prophecy was given in the fifth month of that same year. The same year refers back to the previous chapter, chapter 27. The same year that Jeremiah had made the yokes, as the King James has it, the plural yokes or the singular yoke, the yoke that was put on his neck. We read that in Jeremiah 27, verses 1 through 2. At the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, Zedekiah ruled from 597 to 586, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. "This is what the Lord said to me, make chains and yoke bars for yourself and put them on your neck." Now, Jeremiah's yoke was somewhere at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, who started to rule in 597. Here, this false prophecy is said to take place in the fifth month of the fourth year of Zedekiah. So if Zedekiah started ruling in 597, the fourth year will be somewhere around 593. Now, assuming that's what same year refers to, the same year that Jeremiah had his yoke put on his neck. Chapter 28, verse 1 refers to that same year. That would tie the events of chapter 27 when Jeremiah got his yoke. It would tie it to the reign of King Zedekiah. Remember, there was a bodacious textual problem about whether it's Jehoiakim or Zedekiah who was referred to as the time of when the prophecy was given. I assumed it was Zedekiah. Most of the modern translations assume it's Zedekiah. So we'll see that this yoke incident, the wooden yoke of Jeremiah being placed upon him and then being broken off of his neck by the false prophet Hananiah, it all happened right in the fourth year of King Zedekiah. Now the Jews often divided any time period into two halves, the beginning and the end. As Zedekiah reigned 11 years, the fourth year will be called the beginning of his reign. During the first 3 years of his reign, affairs were in such a disturbed state that he had little power. Remember, the 587 deportation had just occurred. The nobles had been carted off to Babylon. The golden articles in the temple had been stolen and taken to Babylon. And Zedekiah had been placed upon the throne by Nebuchadnezzar II. Bad times. As John Gill says, Zedekiah had been a tributary for 3 years, 597, 596, 595, but in the fourth year he became strong in power. Actually, Jameson Fawcett Brown said that. And Gill says this fourth year is the same year in which Zedekiah paid a visit to the king of Babylon, which we read about in Jeremiah 51:59. And Zedekiah was not only confirmed in his kingdom by Nebuchadnezzar, but Zedekiah had it enlarged. It was made king over 5 neighboring kings. And so this, through the fourth of his reign over Judah, was the first of his enlarged dominions. So things are looking pretty good for Israel now, even though they're tributary. Peace seems at hand. Things are settled down. Now we read about Zedekiah's trip to Babylon in the fourth year of Zedekiah's reign, the same year that we're talking about this yoke incident and the false prophecy of Hananiah. We read in Jeremiah 51:59, "This is what Jeremiah the prophet commanded Seraiah, son of Neriah, son of Maaseiah, the quartermaster, when he," that's Seraiah, "went to Babylon with King Zedekiah of Judah in the fourth year of Zedekiah's reign." So that fourth year of Zedekiah's reign is sort of momentous. He goes to Babylon. He gets assigned a larger jurisdiction to rule over by Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. And meanwhile, Hananiah is prophesying peace. Hananiah, in the presence of the priest, this is in the temple, in the house of the Lord, verse 1, in the presence of the priest, where all the priests are out there in the courtyard ministering and all the people who are gathered there, Hananiah says publicly, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." Well, obviously that didn't happen. "Within 2 years, I will bring back to this place all the articles of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, removed from here." Now, of course, those articles were the golden articles. The gold was taken during the first siege of Babylon, the 597 deportation, when Jehoiakim died outside the city and Jehoiakim's son Jehoiachin was taken to Babylon. Along with Jehoiachin was taken all the golden articles. That was in 597. The bronze articles, or the brass articles, they were heavier and less valuable, and so the Babylonians left them and only got them in 586. So Hananiah falsely prophesies that the golden articles are coming back. He also, in verse 4, says that Jehoiachin, who ruled from 598 to 597 for 3 months, and who was carried off to Babylon, he's coming back too. And Hananiah adds, for further effect, all the other exiles from Judah who went to Babylon, they're coming back too. Now, actually, they did come back 70 years later or so, 66 years or so later, but Hananiah said they're coming back within 2 years. So he was off by a good bit. Now, in verse 2, Hananiah said, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says." Oh, he's speaking in the name of God. You speak in the name of God and you're a false prophet. What happens? You die. And that's what happened to Hananiah. He died within 2 years. We read that at the bottom of this chapter, verses 16 and 17. "Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I am about to send you off the face of the earth. You will die this year because you have spoken rebellion against the Lord." That's Jeremiah prophesying to Hananiah. And the prophet Hananiah, verse 17, died that year in the seventh month. Now, Hananiah prophesied that Jehoiachin was coming back from exile, which he did, and he died in Babylonian captivity. He was restored to the king's table and treated like an important POW, but he nevertheless died in Babylonian captivity. But Hananiah prophesied his return because he knew that that would please the people. The people looked on Jehoiachin as the legitimate ruler, and they looked upon Zedekiah as just a Babylonian puppet, which he was. We go now to Jeremiah chapter 28, verses 5 through 6. "Then the prophet Jeremiah replied to the prophet Hananiah before the priest and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord." So again, this is public in the temple courtyard. All the people standing there, the priest standing there. Jeremiah said, "Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words you have prophesied by bringing the articles of the Lord's house and all the exiles back to this place from Babylon." Well, now this is sort of surprising. Jeremiah says, "Okay, fine, Hananiah. May the Lord do what you prophesied." So we have a little problem here. Here's some options on why Jeremiah agreed so readily with Hananiah. Option number one, Jeremiah was an Israelite, and so he here shows solidarity with his country. As Ger de Koning in the King's Commentary says, by this he means, Jeremiah means, that he would like Hananiah to be right. He knows, however, that it is not so. Okay, well, that's option number one. Option number two, Jeremiah knew that what Hananiah prophesied could happen if the people would repent. And actually, Hananiah had not yet contradicted Jeremiah's prophecies, because all of Jeremiah's prophecies had prophesied destruction, which was contingent upon non-repentance of the people. In other words, he offered them deliverance from Babylon if they would repent. And we've seen that many, many times in the previous chapter. And so it could be he's agreeing with Hananiah by saying, yes, I hope the articles come back and the exiles come back, because that means the people have repented. That's reasonable. Option number three, Jeremiah is being very sarcastic, and this is what I think is happening here. He spoke ironically and sarcastically. Ellicott agrees and says this, "It is impossible to mistake the tone of keen, incisive irony with which the words were spoken. The speaker could, without falsehood, echo the wish as far as it was a wish, but he knew that it was a wish for the impossible." In other words, Jeremiah could say, yeah, I hope the exiles come back. I hope the articles come back. But he knows that's not going to happen. Ellicott continues, the whole condition of things would have to be altered before there could be the slightest prospect of its fulfillment. It was not wise to pray for that which was obviously out of the lines of God's normal methods of working in history and against his purpose as uttered by his prophets. So in other words, according to Ellicott, Jeremiah is just plain being sarcastic here. Yeah, right, Hananiah, may the Lord do that. It's not going to happen. Now, Jeremiah hasn't heard from God about how to respond to Hananiah yet. This is Jeremiah's personal idea of how to respond. So Jeremiah continues to deal with Hananiah in verses 7 through 9 of chapter 28. Nevertheless, Jeremiah says, listen to what I have to say in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. Again, this is public, in the house of the Lord, in the courtyard. From early times, the prophets who preceded you and me have prophesied war, disaster, and plague against many countries and great kingdoms. But the prophet who prophesies peace will be recognized as one truly sent by the Lord only if his prediction comes true. Now, this is one of the many examples where you have a but, and it doesn't seem like the left side of the but directly contradicts the right side of the but. I don't know whether that's an artifact of language or not, but it happens a lot, and it's confusing. Well, let's see what Jeremiah is getting at. Verse 8, from early times, the prophets who preceded you, he's referring to prophets like Isaiah, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, others probably also, and they've prophesied war, disaster, and plague. That's typically what these prophets did against many countries and great kingdoms. Now, why does Jeremiah mention that? Because Jeremiah is showing that earlier prophets who were accepted by the people, they were doing exactly what Jeremiah was doing. And so Jeremiah was following in a long line of prophets, and he was just carrying on the family tradition. Nothing he was saying was unusual. Now, obviously, Hananiah is up here contradicting Jeremiah. Jeremiah has given prophecy after prophecy over the years saying disaster was coming, and Hananiah is saying, no, we're going to stop that. We're going to show that Jeremiah is a false prophet. So Jeremiah was being challenged publicly. So that's the first thing Jeremiah says in his defense. Other prophets have prophesied disaster. I'm prophesying disaster on Israel. What's the difference? Why am I so wrong to do that? Then in verse 9, Jeremiah says, but the prophet who prophesies peace will be recognized as one sent by the Lord only if his prediction comes true. Now, this is my take on this. I've read several commentators. I wasn't too happy with what they all said. It was difficult to understand what was being said here. But the prophet who prophesies peace, it seems to me that Jeremiah is saying that it's easy to prophesy peace. It's easy to get your vindication because the people love you. So you're prophesying peace and all the people love you. But I'm telling you, the only way that people will know that you are a true prophet is your prediction's got to come true. And by the way, it's not going to come true. Jeremiah's smart enough to know that the people aren't going to repent and disaster's coming. So what he's saying is, let me repeat that. You're prophesying peace. You think you're vindicated as a true prophet because all the people love what you're saying. But no, you won't be vindicated unless your predictions of peace come true, and they won't come true. And Jeremiah also is implying here that he is prophesying disaster, which is a harder thing to do because people don't like to hear that. And so he will not get his vindication from the people. However, he will get his vindication when the disaster actually comes and people will see that he's a true prophet. And that's why we remember Jeremiah today as a true prophet. He's written up in the canon, and Hananiah has this little incident in chapter 28, and he dies prematurely. And who knows about Hananiah? He's a loser. Jeremiah is prophesying against his own interest. There's a canon of evidence in the legal profession that if a piece of evidence is an admission against interest, it is more likely to be considered true. For example, when Jake Tapper, who hates Donald Trump, says that the Department of Justice report that says that the FBI persecuted Trump unjustly for the first 2 years of his presidency, and Jake Tapper gets up on CNN, which hates Trump, and he hates Trump, and he gets up and he says, this really looks bad for the FBI. Trump didn't do what the FBI said he did. Well, that's an admission against interest, and so that makes Jake Tapper's words a little stronger. And likewise, since Jeremiah is prophesying something that people don't want to hear, and he's taking a lot of heat for it, that makes it more likely that Jeremiah is prophesying the truth. We go now to Jeremiah 28, verses 10 through 14. Then the prophet Hananiah took the yoke off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah and broke it. And he said before all the people, again, this is public in the temple courtyard, this is what the Lord says, in the same way will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, off the neck of all the nations within 2 years. At this, the prophet Jeremiah went on his way. Shortly after the prophet Hananiah had broken the yoke off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Go and tell Hananiah, this is what the Lord says. You have broken a wooden yoke, but in its place you will get a yoke of iron. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I will put an iron yoke on the necks of all these nations to make them serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they will serve him. I will even give him control over the wild animals. Now in verse 10, when Hananiah takes Jeremiah's wooden yoke off of his neck, that was a very insolent action. God had told Jeremiah to wear that yoke, and Hananiah is basically defying Yahweh when he does that. It's very disrespectful. And of course, prophets loved object lessons. And so Hananiah is trying to say, the yoke is broken, we're going to be free. And we're going to be free within 2 years. He says that in verse 11, I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar off the neck of all the nations, not just Judah, but all the nations. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar is going down within 2 years. That is in accord with his previous statement in verse 3 of Jeremiah 28. Hananiah says, within 2 years I will restore to this place all the articles of the Lord's temple, the golden articles. So the golden articles are coming back, and Babylon's going down within 2 years, says Hananiah. Babylon's not only going to not oppress the people of Judah, but also all the nations surrounding in the ancient Near East. Well, Jeremiah responds to this quite simply. He doesn't say anything. He just leaves. At this, the prophet Jeremiah went on his way. Now, by leaving like that, we can assume that Jeremiah is showing his dissent from Hananiah's words. He is showing his dislike and detestation of Hananiah's lies and blasphemies, and I assume that's why he walked off like that. Not that he was afraid, or not that he was conceding that Hananiah was right, not that he's given any sort of tacit approval to what Hananiah says, but he's saying, no, I'm not going to listen to you anymore. Not going to answer a fool according to his folly. So he takes off. Now notice that Jeremiah patiently bore Hananiah's affronts and insolence. Jeremiah prudently withdrew to prevent riots. And you can imagine, you got all the people there. Maybe some people would side with Jeremiah's. Maybe some people would side with Hananiah. And as a result, there might be a first-class brawl. Or it could be all the people would side with Hananiah, and they would arrest Jeremiah, or lynch him, or kill him, or stone him. At any rate, Jeremiah was wise to leave at that point. But shortly thereafter, Jeremiah got a word from the Lord in verse 12. How long after the breaking of Jeremiah's yoke by Hananiah did Jeremiah get the word from the Yahweh is not known. It might have been the same day. It was certainly in the same year, the fourth year of King Zedekiah, because 2 months after this incident of the broken yoke, Hananiah died. How do we know that? Because in verse 1 of chapter 28, we read, in that same year, at the beginning of the reign of King Zedekiah of Judah, in the fifth month of the fourth year, Hananiah goes forth. And then in Jeremiah 28, verse 17, and the prophet Hananiah died that year, the fourth year of Zedekiah, in the seventh month. So Hananiah only has 2 months to live. So somewhere within that 2 month period, Jeremiah gets a word from Yahweh to go prophesy to Hananiah. He tells Hananiah in verse 13 that, you might have broken my wooden yoke, Hananiah, but you're not going to get a wooden yoke. You're not going to get, because of that, a wooden yoke on your head. It's going to be worse. It's going to be a yoke of iron, an iron yoke. Iron, of course, is much heavier, more severe than a wooden yoke. Now, I'm assuming here that Hananiah's yoke of iron that he's going to get would be his death within 2 months. But not only Hananiah will get a yoke of iron, but also the nations surrounding Judah, and Judah also, they're going to get an iron yoke. Verse 14, the Lord says, I will put an iron yoke on the neck of all these nations. In other words, they're not going to be coming home from captivity. They're going to be serving Nebuchadnezzar in captivity. Not only the nobles who were exiled in 597, but all the people who were exiled in 586, they're going to be slaves, captive in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar is going to be so strong, contrary to what you say, Hananiah, that he's going to be on top, contrary to what you said that Nebuchadnezzar would be defeated within 2 years, Nebuchadnezzar actually will be stronger than ever. God will even give him control over the wild animals. Now that's hyperbole. You control a wild animal, you're pretty strong, because nobody controls wild animals. They run through the woods on their own. This is similar to what Jeremiah said in chapter 27, verse 6. So now I, that's God, have placed all these lands under the authority of my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. I have even given him the wild animals to serve him. That, of course, is an exaggeration. Someone who can control wild animals is all-powerful. We go now to Jeremiah 28, verses 15 through 17. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, "Listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, yet you have persuaded this nation to trust in lies. Therefore, this is what the Lord says, I am about to remove you from the face of the earth." In other words, I'm about to kill you. "This very year you are going to die." That's the fourth year of Zedekiah, roughly 593. "Because you have preached rebellion against the Lord." Notice that Jeremiah is not making this personal. He's not saying you're going to die because you contradicted the word of a great prophet of God, Jeremiah. No, you are rebelling against Yahweh, the God who made the universe. It's not just me you are rebelling against. So in verse 17, in the seventh month of that same year, Hananiah the prophet died. Again, to repeat, that was 2 months after he had prophesied. He had prophesied in the fifth month in verse 1. In that same year, at the beginning of the reign of King Zedekiah of Judah, in the fifth month of the fourth year, and now here in verse 17, in the seventh month of that same year, Hananiah died. 2 months. And so Hananiah is toast. Jeremiah is vindicated as a true prophet. And notice that Jeremiah's criterion for vindicating a prophet was carried out. He says, when a prophet prophesied, it's got to come to pass. When he prophesies disaster, he prophesied disaster over Hananiah, and it came to pass. Jeremiah even gave it the time period. He said, within 2 years, you're going to die. Actually, he said, this very year, not within 2 years. He said, within this very year, you're going to die. And it happened 2 months later. So Jeremiah got instant vindication of his prophetic ministry. And on that happy note, we are now finished Jeremiah chapter 28, and we are now prepared to go to chapter 29. I will call that chapter Jeremiah's Letter to the Exiles and Shemaiah's False Prophecy. I hope you stay with me for that audio, and I hope you enjoyed this one.